The title of my sermonette today is God's Grief. God's Grief. We hear very often that God is so angry at the people's behavior that he will soon pour out his anger, which means the seven last plagues. This shows how angry God really is about the people who defy his laws again and again. But those God only have anger in his mind, and thus he desperately wants people to be punished for their sins. Some time ago, I read a remarkable verse in Jeremiah which moved me very much. This verse was in Jeremiah 14 and verse 10. It says in the New King James Bible, "Thus says the Lord to this people, thus they have loved to wander, they have not restrained their feet, therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins." In a German Bible, Hope for All, it reads, "And the Lord answered me, this people loves to run away from me. They just do not want to stay with me." I read this verse again and again and again, and I found it very interesting and remarkable because it made me think about the feelings that God has for the people. How do you feel this statement? What do you think how God thought, and what did he feel? Can you imagine God's grief when people leave him? Let us look at a verse in Luke 19 and verse 41 to 42 that shows us how God grieves. "Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the thing that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes.'" So Christ wept because he grieves over his nations. And he knew how much God the Father suffered because of them. God the Father and Jesus Christ suffered and suffer greatly because the people live disobediently to this day. And there is still no end in sight. All the days are full of sins. What does God say? "The people loves to run away from me. They just do not want to stay with me." And what does Salomo say? "That which has been will be. That which is done will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun." All the days, all the week, all the year, all the same sins all the time. Let's take a look what had happened at the same time of Samuel. We go to 1 Samuel and chapter 8. 1 Samuel at chapter 8. We start with the verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges for Israel. And verse 3. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest again, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king, for judge us like all the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me." Again, they rejected me, that I should not reign over them according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, when to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. They have rejected me. Do you think that didn't matter to God? Now, I have a simple question for you. Do you have children? And now think about it, this one, they have rejected me. Doesn't that mean anything? What would you feel if your son or your daughter would tell you, "You are not my mom," or "You're not my dad anymore"? What do you say if your child came to you and said, "Oh, leave me alone, I don't listen to that, I don't want to listen, what do you tell me?" Or, "I don't want to do, what do you want from me?" Wouldn't that pierce your heart? Or would you say, "I don't care"? You laugh, have fun, and you cry with your children. But losing them means huge suffering that nobody can just ignore. And that's exactly how it is with God. The same pain, the same suffering, the same grief. God is suffering from the disobedience of Israel and Judah. And today, from the disobedience of the whole humanity. God has always had a better and a perfect plan for his people. He wanted that his people had pleasure and peace. Let us look in the First King in chapter 6. First King, we go to chapter 6 and we read verse 11 to 13. Then the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, "Concerning this temple which you are building, if you walk in my statutes executes my judgments, keep all my commandments, and walk in them, then I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will not forsake my people Israel. He will not forsake. So, God never wanted to leave his people. Let us take a look to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 1 to 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the table of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 4 is like a metaphor. In Germany, we have a saying like this. It says, a good business is only good if both leave with a laugh. All must be good for both, not for the only one. It's for both, for all. And that describes exactly God's intention for this life. Never let God grieve over a wrong way of life. That will lead to God's anger. And let us read about God's anger in Jeremiah 14. Jeremiah 14. And 11 to 12. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for these people, for they good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And now, let us think about the last verse in Hebrews. In Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Do we that? Paid we respect? Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and life? That's what we must do. That's what we have to do. Only then we have a fulfilled, blessed life. Let us show God through over-offering how much we love him, and let us not grieve him through our conduct.